You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic is Hold On, Part 2. My scripture comes from 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, 27th through 31st verse. My text is Philippians 3rd chapter, 13th through 14th verse, which states, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing forth unto those things which are before. I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What the apostles' actings were under, the conviction of holding on, considering that he had not already attained and had not apprehended, he pressed forward. I look after, I pursue with vigor, as one following after the game. I endeavor to get more grace and do more good and never think I have done enough. If that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Whence our grace comes from our being apprehended of Christ Jesus. It is not our laying hold of Christ first, but his laying hold of us, which is our happiness and salvation. We love him because he first loved us. Not our keeping hold of Christ, but his keeping hold of us is our safety. We are kept by his mighty power through faith unto salvation. What the happiness of heaven is, it is to apprehend that for which we are apprehended of Christ. When Christ laid hold of us, it was to bring us to heaven, and to apprehend that for which he apprehended us is to attain the perfection of our complete happiness. He adds further, this one thing I do. This was his great care and concern, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. There is a sinful forgetting of past sins and past mercies, which ought to be remembered for the exercise of constant repentance and thankfulness to God. But Paul forgot the things which were behind, so as not to be content with present measures of grace. He was still for having more and more. So he reaches forth, stretches himself forward, bearing towards his point. It is expressive of a deeply felt concern. The apostle's aim in these actings, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He pressed towards the mark as he who runs a race never takes up short of the end, but is still making forwards as fast as he can. So those who have heaven in their eye must still be pressing to it in holy desires and hopes and constant endeavors and preparations. The fitter we grow for heaven, the faster we must press towards it. Heaven is called here the mark because it is that which every good Christian has in his eye, and as the archer has his eye fixed upon the mark he designs to hit. For the prize of the high calling. A Christian's calling is a high calling. It is from heaven. and its original, and it is to heaven in its tendency. Heaven is the prize of the high calling, the prize we fight for and run for and wrestle for, what we aim at in all we do, and what will reward all our pains. It is of great use in the Christian course to keep our eye upon heaven. This is proper to give us measures in all our service and to quicken us every step we take. And it is of God, from whom we are to expect it. Eternal life is the gift of God, Romans 6:23. But it is in Christ Jesus, through his hand, it must come to us, as it is procured for us by him. There is no getting to heaven but by Christ as our way. Some of us are going through challenging times down here. We may be going through some sickness, but hold on to God's unchanging hand. You may see friends and family members that have gone on to be with the Lord before you. But stay encouraged. No wonder Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Jesus said, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So where I am, there you may be also. If you hold on, you can get there." David said, "When I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, God will be there. Hold on. Some days will get rough, but hold on. Friends may get few, but hold on." Jesus went to Calvary on our behalf and died a painful death on the cross. Therefore, let us take up our cross daily and follow him. Non-sugar sweeteners are not advised for weight loss in adults and children, according to a systematic review of the available scientific evidence. Don't use sugar substitutes if you are trying to lose weight, according to new guidance from the World Health Organization. The Global Health Body said a systematic review of the available evidence suggests the use of non-sugar sweeteners does not confer any long-term benefits in reducing body fat in adults or children. Replacing free sugars with non-sugar sweeteners does not help people control their weight long-term, said Francisco Branca, director of the World Health Organization's Department of Nutrition and Food Safety. "We did see a mild reduction of body weight in the short term, but it's not going to be sustained. The guidance applies to all people, except those with pre-existing diabetes," Branca said. "Why? Simply because none of the studies in the review included people with diabetes, and an assessment could not be made," he said. The review also indicated that there might be potential undesirable effects from the long-term use of sugar substitutes, such as a mildly increased risk of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. However, this recommendation is not meant to comment on safety of consumption, Branca said. What this guideline says is that if we are looking for reduction of obesity, weight control, or risk of non-communicable diseases, that is unfortunately something that science has been unable to demonstrate, he said. It's not going to produce the positive health effects that some people might be looking for. Non-sugar sweeteners are widely used as an ingredient in prepackaged foods and beverages, and are also sometimes added to food and drinks directly by consumers. The World Health Organization issued guidelines on sugar intake in 2015, recommending that adults and children reduce their daily intake of free sugars to less than 10% of their total energy intake. Following that recommendation, Interest in sugar alternatives intensified, the review said. Erythritol is added to many non-carb and keto products and low-calorie sweeteners. Zero-calorie sweetener is linked to heart attack and stroke, the study finds. This new guideline is based on a thorough assessment of the latest scientific literature, and it emphasizes that the use of artificial sweeteners is not a good strategy for achieving weight loss by reducing dietary energy intake, said nutrition researcher Ian Johnson, emeritus fellow at Quadram Institute Bioscience, formerly the Institute of Food Research in Norwich, United Kingdom. However, this should not be interpreted as an indication that sugar intake has no relevance to weight control, Johnson said in a statement. Instead, one should cut back on using sugar-sweetened drinks and try to use raw or lightly processed fruit as a source of sweetness, Johnson said. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is victory. Joseph Haydn, the great Austrian composer, once was asked why his music was so cheerful. He replied, "When I think upon God, my heart is so full of joy that the notes dance and leap from my pen. And since God has given me a cheerful heart, it is important that I serve him with a cheerful spirit." Haydn had discovered the secret of lasting joy. I think on God. Looking at our circumstances won't bring us lasting joy. It may even lead to depression or anger. But when we think on God, when we turn our minds and hearts to his power and his love for us, we can't help but be joyful. Paul said, "Set your minds on things above, not on things on earth." 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Every day brings battles and temptations that sometimes make us feel like giving up. But the strength we need for victory over them comes from Christ. As we draw nearer to thee, discouragement, fear, and the desire to quit flee. So when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Stay encouraged, my friends. Keep